You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Acme Packing. Oh, are we recording? We are recording. I'm good. Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I am Justice Mosqueda. This is the Repack. I'm joined by Evan Tex Western. Some people text.
Oh, what's up, everybody? Long night. Rough night. Bummer of a night.
Yes. I've done it. I've updated the playoff pain rankings. This is what I have so far. This is the last 12 playoff losses.
This one, I'm just gonna, before you even get there, like this doesn't even, this barely registers. Like it sucks, yes, right now, but compared to the rest of the stuff that we've been through in the last 12, 13 seasons, this isn't even close.
The top spot, the 2014 NFC Championship game, a game I will never forget.
No question.
I will be on my deathbed thinking about that game.
Yep.
Two, 2021 San Francisco. Duh. Three, this one hurts me more than most people, I think. Losing to Eli after going 21-1.
The 2011 season. Yeah. That one was real, real rough.
That one I was like, I say jokingly, we will never die. I legitimately thought we would never die. I was like, this is, we broke the sport. We did it. And we're never gonna fall on this sword. And then we lost to Eli.
I still think with that one, the whole Joe Philbin thing like played into the entire emotional state of that team.
Oh yeah.
More than we realized with his son passing away like right before the game. So,
and then he was taking like head coaching interviews like right then too, right? Like, because they had that bye.
It was just a weird situation, but yeah, with just sort of that weird emotional toll of Joe's son passing away, that was pretty rough. But that one was a devastating loss, coming considering what that team had done in the regular season.
Drum roll. Favre losing to Eli in overtime. This is probably higher for most people.
Ooh. Yeah, that one's up there, especially being Favre's last game in Green Bay.
Eesh. 5-6 for me, both Arizona overtime losses. I know a lot of people don't think of it that way. I get captured in the moment. We'll talk about that later in this podcast.
Yeah.
So those games, I'm living and dying with every down.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And 09 hurts worse for me than 15, personally. Just the way that game went down and Rodgers being, you know, going God mode in that game, and Jamarco Finley going God mode in that game. I mean, the 15 game, the fact that they were even remotely in it was a miracle. And my biggest complaint about that game was that McCarthy didn't go for two at the end instead of sending it into overtime.
7-8, both of the Kaepernick losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Those felt inevitable with the way the Packers couldn't defend their running quarterback. So,
which it feels like it should be higher on this list, except for there's so many playoff losses, which like,
yeah, one, there's a lot to go through. Yeah.
I don't think this is like for us. Right. I think this is a product of being in the playoffs a lot of seasons.
Yeah. If you make the playoffs a lot, you're going to lose in the playoffs a lot. Like that's what happens.
I have a 2020 NFC Championship game. I don't remember if that's the Bucks one or the San Francisco.
That's the
one.
Bucks. Yeah, that's Tampa.
That's the Bucks. Yeah. That one hurt.
That one's a little higher, I think, for me. That's higher than either of the Arizona ones.
Yeah, I'm lower on that one generally, because I went into that game thinking Tampa is built to beat us. Tampa is built to beat
us. Gotcha.
19 NFC Championship game, so that would have been to San Francisco, if I remember that right.
Yeah, the one that Pettine got run all over.
Yeah. That one, again, is just predictable to me.
Yep.
Then 11th on the list since 2007. That's where the San Francisco game registers for me. The only one behind it is the 2016 NFC Championship
Yep.
game, which is the closest thing I've ever felt to a participation trophy for an NFL football game. That team did not deserve to be in the NFC Championship, and we survived. I was on a plane watching it, and I was like, I can't believe this, like, Aaron Ripkowski is really out here playing football games. So that's the bar that we
Aaron
passed.
Ripkowski, Ladarius Gunter out there trying to cover Julio Jones, basically not having Jordy for like most of that game because he got hurt in the Giants game. And yeah, that one they had no business being where they were. And that was, coming off the whole run the table thing too. Like that team had no business being in the NFC Championship game.
No, I tweeted about it. Three replies so far. Aaron Ripkowski fumble equals skull emoji. And then two different people
Death.
talking about Ladarius Gunter having to shout out to Julio Jones. So yeah.
There you go.
We
Yep.
got it. We got his official 40 time for 4.69. So when I said I get carried away during games, right? One of the things is I slipped into belief, and I actually don't think I was wrong for it. Like, the this
Not
Packers team
today.
looked good enough. This team didn't even play
Yep.
well, and they
Yeah.
were
This.
almost good enough to beat the one seed.
Absolutely. That's what's crazy to me about this game is we they showed us every reason to believe. And the somebody put it best that my buddy Jeremy put it best on Twitter. Like the difference in this game was that the Packers dropped interceptions and the 49ers didn't.
I mean, there
Like
were a lot of differences. I mean, there were a lot
I
of
mean, yeah, you
opportunities.
can right, yeah, you can point to any number of things, but like think if Savage makes that pick, they probably win this game. If Nixon, hauls in that pick, they at least have, 40 yards of field position that flips and they're set up at the 25-yard line. Either of those plays goes, the field goal, the one red zone opportunity goes the other way. There's it feels like the Seattle NFC Championship, just in that there's so many different things that if one of them had gone right, they could have won this game. And all of them went wrong. It's just in this case, they didn't all happen in the fourth quarter like they did in 2014.
They just, I mean, the team didn't score a touchdown until the third, right? Because they kicked the two field goals despite getting into, I still can't remember if it was in the red zone, actually, if they actually cracked the 20-yard line, but it was somewhere in that area.
They did. Yeah, all three of those drives, the two field goals and then the fourth down spot,
I'm still
which
mad about that.
refs. Oh.
I'm still mad about
Oh.
that. And then they try to mess up the second spot on the push when it was obvious that he had
Yeah.
gotten it,
Made
and they
and
finally
made
corrected that.
made LaFleur challenge it for, waste a challenge on the one spot in the third quarter. Like,
Yeah, so I
jeez.
mean, we're talking about dropped interceptions. We're talking about Brock Purdy not having a good game. I don't
No.
care that he won. I called him Matt Schaub mid-game, and people were like, "You lost to Matt Schaub." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, we
Yeah,
lost to Matt Schaub." And then people
yep.
immediately were like, "We lost to Eli twice. Like, what does it matter if we lost to Matt Schaub? Like, Eli is gonna be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in part because he got past not only the Patriots, but also the Packers during those years." I mean, the red zone woes, the turnover on downs, the missed field goal, that's gonna be a big thing. I don't care. I don't care that much. Like, I understand people are gonna be mad about it, and I know Matt talked about it, and he's like, "Yeah, people are gonna focus on it and stuff." Like, there's so much stuff that happened in this game, and there's so much work to be done on this roster that they need to get turned around if they actually want to be a championship caliber team. And they're close, right? Like, they didn't even have a good game this game, right? In my opinion, like, the defense probably played a little bit better than I thought, but outside of that, and Aaron Jones did well, but outside of that, I don't think this was a performance to write home about, and they almost beat the one seed at home. So, like, fixing the kicker situation, obviously, like, if the team is starting hot next year and they're like 6-0 or something like that, and they're still missing field goals, that's when you could probably say, like, okay, like, we got to start thinking about what we need to look like in January or something like that. This team finished the season 9-8. Like, there wasn't a time for them to be like, hey, let's add more competition to the kicker position. They cleared the runways for Anders to get all of these reps through the entire summer and everything else. It's too late by the time that they, clinch the playoffs and stuff to bring in another person for that kick, that snap hold kick operation. Like, I could not be bothered by it. Couldn't be bothered by it.
Yeah, I mean, this again, this is the season where we fully expected this team to take its lumps and go through a whole lot of growing pains. And it just so happened that, the offense went through all of those growing pains in like the first 11 weeks of the season and then figured it all out on Thanksgiving or like a week or two before Thanksgiving and then just cooked the rest of the way. Like, there was no. It's so weird to come out of this game feeling so deflated when we went into the season with like no expectations for what this team was going to do, and to just be the, my takeaway from this season. This is what I'm going to try to make, make sure I remember taking away was, how fun this stretch run was, and the fact that we did it again and we found our quarterback. Like, that is the important thing from this season. It's don't we can't be we can't dwell on this loss too much, because this team was never supposed to be in this position, because it was always supposed to be about 24 and 25. And the fact that they were even in the playoffs at all, let alone playing in a divisional game, is astounding to begin with.
Yeah, the future's bright. I'm not that worried. I rattled off all the losses, right? Like, this 11th out of 12, and the other one was a participation trophy game. Moody missed a field goal too, by the way, and he was drafted in the third round. So, like, there's a lot of turnover at kicker. Like, if you functionally look at, like, kicker, it's kind of hard to find one right now because a lot of guys are aging out, and then the guys coming in need development, which is what we're trying to do, right? Like,
Exactly.
there's a guy with Carlson's last name who the Vikings cut bait on basically, like, literally 1 year too early. And then Bisaccia fixed him, and now he's an all pro. Like, I'm okay with just waiting another half season. And then if he sucks in the first half of the season, okay. Like, this team is, if the team is, if the team needs a kicker to get them over the edge and make them like this, like a legitimate contender, I'm cool with cutting bait on a rookie or a young player at that point. But like right now, like there wasn't a reason to, and the timelines never worked out. So yeah, he was shaky. So what? Moody missed a field goal too. Like, there's other things that could have happened in this game. Where do we go from here? Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
What a stretch
I
for Aaron
mean,
Jones. Congrats.
five straight, man. 500-yard games. I think I saw on the broadcast that's a Packers team record. Nobody's ever done it in five games in a row. Granted, it took a that 53-yarder in the fourth quarter to get there, but that run was a thing of beauty. I just yeah that one was that was funny, because I said and I tweeted like, please give me a six-minute touchdown drive, and then he busts off a 50-yard run right off the bat. I'm like, all right, we're not gonna get the 6 minutes, but let's get in the end zone. And then obviously, unders happen. But yeah, he's coming back one way or another next season. I don't think there can be
100%.
any question about that. Just the spark that he's brought to this team in this last 5 weeks or so. The dynamic running and just it making the offense look like a completely different animal when he's out there and he's healthy and he's right. So he'll be back. They'll figure out a way to get him back and work out the cap situation. I have no doubt of that at this point.
How Jones was able to get a bunch of yards on this Niners team is a topic that Kyle Posey and I talked about on Intercepted this week. Kyle was really worried about pin and pull stuff, and with San Francisco specifically. And that's a lot of Green Bay's run game. I mean, that was something that it wasn't something they added this year, but it was something that they added last year, Stenovich's first year as the offensive coordinator. Before then, the Packers were basically just a big zone team, and they did run a ton of zone against the Dallas Cowboys last week, but it was nice having those plays and those reps in this game. San Francisco likes to line up with wide nine edge defenders, and if you don't know what that means, it's basically like count players inside out, even numbers on their helmets, right? So head up on a center would be a zero tech, head up on a guard would be a two, right? And then outside shade is an odd number, right? So a shade on a defensive tackle would be a one, a shade on a guard would be a three tech, right? Nine is basically like outside of like a wing tight end, right? And even if there's not a wing tight end and a tight end on the field, they will line up that wide. Well, what does that do? That gives you really good angles to rush the passer, but at the same time, that's a lot of space if you want to have a kick out and an insert block on the inside. And that really helped them out in the pin and pull game. I thought the offensive line... Oh, God.
I was going to say one of the keys to that to me was the receivers blocking down on the defensive ends. Wicks was a menace.
Watson had a couple too.
Watson. Yep. Yeah. Those two guys, especially on those pin and pulls, were just beaten up, like Bosa and Chase Young. I mean, each of them had a couple of great blocks on those runs. So,
and that's something Watson hasn't always been the best at. Like for all that we talk about, you know, Watson, height, weight, speed, all that stuff. As a blocker, there's a lot of times where it felt like Watson didn't realize how big he was. And if he can start doing some of that stuff and be a speed guy, I mean, that opens up a lot in the offense, like we just saw, where they don't realize, you know, it's not obvious when Alan Lazard has walked down into like a tight end position or something like that, right?
Yep.
Where everyone in the stadium is probably guess and run. Defensively, I guess Kittle bit us in the ass a couple times. Like McCaffrey had a couple plays, but like that was kind of expected.
Mm-hmm.
For all the talk about all these threats, like didn't really bother. Like the wide receivers didn't do anything crazy outside of the one like long Jennings pass that he like caught over the middle, right?
McCaffrey was a non-factor in the passing game. I mean, he had 12 targets, but he only caught 7 of them for a total of 30 yards. Like, in his long reception was 9 yards. I know he ended up, you know, with almost 130 yards from scrimmage, but aside from really the big touchdown run where he just broke a Darnell Savage tackle in the hole, I mean, that was a huge hole on that play too. So, outside of that, like, it didn't feel like he was really killing this defense. And like Ayuk didn't do much. Debo barely played because he was banged up.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Kittle was kind
and
of
Kittle,
big.
Kittle, one of them, was just busted coverage. It really did seem like,
was that the touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where Anthony Johnson, the safety, drops down and he's supposed to be the single high safety.
He's the whole player. Yeah. I don't, or he's the post player. I don't understand. He must have thought it was a different play call. That's the only thing that can come to mind with the way that he jumped the solo side and just did not care about playing over the top. And then both Jair and Savage were like, what the hell? What the hell was that? So something weird happened there. Either went totally off the rails or he got in the wrong call. And maybe it was a check thing. Who knows? So, yeah, I mean, on the defensive side, there are certainly things that were frustrating. His name goes by Devondre Campbell, and the other guy is Simone Biles' husband. After the game in the presser, Matt LaFleur said a couple things. One of the things that he said was like, this whole team isn't going to be back together next year, so like I want them to like enjoy their last time in the locker room together and all that stuff. You look at their contracts, a lot of these guys are young guys. Like, there's not that many guys that they can move on from. Two of those guys are Owens and Campbell, potentially. And at this point, man, like, unless Campbell is playing through a knee or an ankle or something like that that we don't know of. He did that last year where he brought up the fact that he played through an injury that was undisclosed. Right now he's being listed with a neck, which I understand, like a scary injury.
Sure.
I don't
Yeah.
understand how that would impact your lower body. It doesn't seem like he has the legs anymore. I mean, it feels like the last year of like Adrian Amos, right? Where we kind of
Yeah.
all looked around and were like, all right, they didn't do
It's
the thing
time.
where they usually let a guy go a year
And
early, right? Like, oh, they're a year late on this one. But it's time.
that one's tough because Campbell's still signed for another 3 years. And like
You
he,
gotta eat
the
it.
Packers almost never June post June 1st cut a guy. He might be the one where it makes sense because the way his contract, I pulled it up here. I mean, he's going to have a cap hit, or he's due to have a cap hit of $14 million next year. He's got a roster bonus of 3 mil basically the first day of the league year. So obviously they'll make a decision before then, but they've kicked the can on so much of his bonus and stuff that, like, if you cut him and just cut him outright, that's an $11.5 million dead cap in
Eat it.
2024.
Eat it. That's going to help you
Like,
more in
yeah,
2025.
you'll save a little bit of space because, right, I mean, he's at 14, so you save about $2.5 million in cap space. I don't know. I mean, you do it one way or another. I could see them doing a post June 1, and then that way, they take three and a half, 4 million in 2024, and then kick another 8 million to 2025. Maybe, I don't know, but
I mean, that's one way where you don't
if
have to do another restructure of Aaron Jones or something like that.
right,
They're gonna
yeah.
have to play some sort of games. I'm not really too worried about it. I think what it boils down to is
They
just
get
the
there.
straight cash that Devondre is getting. And you cannot say that you want to pay that eventually, doesn't matter when the payment comes, that money should not hit the salary cap for the Packers for whatever he's gonna bring to the table in 2024. That's where I'm at.
Absolutely. Right now, I mean, he's scheduled to make roughly $10 million in cash in
He's
2024.
not
That is
worth that
not
money.
happening.
He's not
Right.
worth that. He's
Yep.
not. So I don't know if that means, McDuffie starting. He definitely got more burn down the stretch. I don't know if that means they go to the well and look at the draft. I know last time I checked, at least there was not a first round pick who was expected to come out in the draft at the linebacker position. I actually just wrote up all the guys who declared for the NFL draft, so I will be looking at that in a second.
Man.
Doo -doo -doo
And
-doo
I just
-doo
pulled up
-doo.
the list of free agent linebackers in the 2024
There's like
class.
three
And
good linebackers in the NFL, I'm telling you.
yeah, I mean, like, you're looking at Devin White, who's, coming off a big deal. Lavonte David, who's old. Bobby Wagner, who's old and bad. Josie Jewell from the Broncos, like Frankie Louvu from the Panthers. Like, it's rough out there in the free agent linebacker market too. So,
Here
yeah.
are all the underclassmen, off-ball linebackers who declared in this draft. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., ranked 52nd. He's going
Oh,
to be a
that makes me
popular
feel
guy.
old. Holy
Yeah,
crap.
he's going to be a popular guy. Do you know Dre Kirkpatrick has a son who signed with
Yes.
Alabama? That's the one that's the leaderboard for me right now.
Man. Yeah.
Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan, he's ranked 93rd. And then Trevon Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky, who's ranked 180th. We did pretty good drafting a late round prospect who declared early out of Kentucky last year in Valentine. So maybe he's the guy. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of linebacker talent in this draft. They might have to develop a guy. They might just say, we're going to ride with McDuffie in the short term. The other position I think that there is plenty of room for growth is at safety. And then at that point, after that, I think you're backfilling at probably the offensive line positions to, just add competition there. You're backfilling at, running back. You're backfilling probably elsewhere in the secondary, maybe at outside linebacker at this point, because they didn't seem to think enough of Brenton Cox to actually play him in this game. And, Kingsley Anagbare isn't going to start the season on the 53-man roster, I assume, unless, he comes back from a, has a hell of a recovery plan from his ACL injury. So yeah, draft season, baby. But there's plenty of ways that this team can get marginally better, and then, you figure, hey, half of this team is like 23 years old or younger, so I assume they're
Exactly.
going to take another step.
Yeah, you're counting on a lot of development coming, and certainly a lot of these rookies taking second year jumps, the second year guys taking third year jumps. I'm still ecstatic to see what the tandem of like Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave can do in years two,
Yeah,
three,
for sure.
four,
Yes.
of their rookie deals. And obviously, Love taking hopefully another step in his second year starting. So there's every reason to be excited about the direction of this team. They just need to make sure, to your point, they shore up a couple of those holes, especially on defense, where there's some clear talent deficiencies.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. It's time to address safety. You guys didn't do it last year. Linebacker is a situation where I understood them running it back, right? Because you're like, okay, Devondre was hurt. But now if it's just he's hurt all the time, call it.
What do you
Call
do? Yeah, it's
it.
time.
And if you're gonna, all right, here's where we get into the second thing that Matt said. If you're gonna be running this defense, right, and you're just gonna be running this defense back, you gotta have better players for coverage than what we have right now, especially at linebacker. Like, they're just not good enough at coverage at linebacker to be able to play this way. What Matt said was that,
Be
what was it?
prepared, folks.
Fantastic? Fantastic is the
Fantastic was
word
the
that he
word.
used on the defense. I think Joe's coming back, guys.
He's coming back.
I don't think there's been any indication from Matt that he wants to move on from Barry, even when the team was struggling. Didn't want to last year. Got an opportunity to say, hey, our defense crapped the bed and we gave up a fourth quarter lead. Didn't. Said the defense played fantastic, even though they gave up, what is it, 24 points? Not that much, but like you also gave up like
In a bad
350.
Brock Purdy game, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Guys, just, I'm telling you, I know you guys don't want to hear it. I know you guys are going to take it out on me for saying it.
But prepare yourselves.
Yeah, I'm just calling it as I see it, man. I think he's coming back. What else do we have to touch on? I guess we should touch on the love play at the end.
Yeah, Tom Clemens is going to be
Stupid fucking play.
real disappointed about that one.
Yeah, just a dumb
Oof.
throw. That's when you remember you're like, 'cause I for like 30 minutes I'm like, why the hell did he throw that? And I was talking to some national writers, and like, he's 24. That's like, he's still a kid. Like, he thinks he's capable of doing these things. And then in the presser, he said, I really try to force it in double coverage. And then I didn't see the backside guy. It ended up being triple coverage. That third guy ended up making the play. Before then, I thought in terms of the processing, he was doing a pretty good job. I mean, even in that 2 minute drill, he hit the curl, against quarters, up the left sideline to what, who is it, Dobbs, and then he threw like
A
one
read,
of the more confident passes I've ever seen in my life, where he tries to fit it over a defender, under a defender, to a receiver, and Dobbs, I think it hit Dobbs's hands. I don't know if you
Got a
count that as a drop.
fingertips on it. Yeah, that's a tough one to give a drop for, but
But
yeah,
yeah, I mean,
that was a ballsy throw.
he was trying, like he was confident.
It yeah that the
Throw that one away.
yeah that one the other pick, right? That was a good decision, bad throw, behind
Yeah.
Kraft.
You had
And
two
then there
really
was
bad balls short. It was that one and then
the
the
Jones
Jones
one.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, the third and two. That one, I think he said something about like they've got mixed up on, where Jones was supposed to settle down, and he expected him to be a little more towards the middle of the field. So like, well, miscommunications kind of happen.
There was also
And
the hospital ball on
yeah, the one to
the doc
Wicks.
play. The doc play.
Yeah,
Yeah, I was
that was a
like,
little rough. But yeah, the pick, I just keep watching it back in my head and just being like, it's 1st and 10. Just fucking throw the ball away.
That's just a
Just
young kid.
chuck it out of bounds. And,
Yeah.
that'll be, it's any other time, right? Like you can chalk it up to inexperience, move on and move on to the next week and use it as a learning experience. It just sucks that that happens to end a playoff
Well,
game.
guess what? I bet you he doesn't make that mistake again.
That's,
Because
yeah.
he's going to be sitting his ass at home next week thinking like,
And,
gosh, dang it. I had three more shots. I had three more shots at it if I just threw this thing away.
And again, I mean, how many times have we heard Tom Clements, the quarterback's coach, talk about the cardinal sin of quarterbacking, right? Throwing late across your body over the middle of the field. So that's obviously that's what he did. And I think you're right. I don't think we'll see that again in, a late game situation like this from him, at least not like that.
Let's take a break. Get into vibe checks already.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we are back. All right, offensive side of the ball. Pretty good. I think they did a better job of stopping the pass rush than I thought. Again, Love had his little up and down stuff. Jones had a really good game. I think the run game overall had a really good game. Emmanuel Wilson gave us a couple plays. That was nice. I don't know where I would go. I mean, I guess let's think about this like moving forward, right? Not even just in the context of this game. Moving forward, the team needs to figure out what their offensive line is. They need to get another running back because Emmanuel Wilson did give us a little bit today. But I don't know that you want to go into the season with him as your RB2. They're stocked at tight end. They're stocked at receiver. We have our quarterback. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the interior offensive line, yeah, there's some question marks there. Center, right guard, what are you doing at that right guard spot? Is
Jenkins,
Josh Myers or
want to see Jenkins bounce back here next year. Hopefully he's not pushing through knee stuff.
Definitely. I don't think you're in a position where you have to take a tackle early. I think you've seen enough from Rashid Walker on the left side, that there's at least a reasons for optimism on him. And obviously we think Zach Tom is a guy that you can count on the other side. Be interested to see if maybe there's any thought to flipping those guys next season, just with Tom's athleticism. But maybe I'm kind of getting a little out there with that one. But and probably some depth at tackle would be good. That was almost a problem tonight, right? So Tom goes down. Yash Nyman comes in. Obviously, Nyman's a free agent this offseason. Looked like Walker was going to be going out for a hot second, and Royce Newman was lining up, practicing on the sidelines. So certainly want to add some depth there, I think. But yeah, I mean, starting lineup wise, your starting 11 feels pretty good for the most part. Like I said, you got maybe one spot at that right guard to figure out, but yeah, you got to feel solid across the board, and pretty much all these guys are young guys, and yeah, you can count on some development through to next year. So the arrow is definitely pointing up overall, I think, on this unit.
Yeah. Get him running back. Maybe running back of the future, because Jones is good for next year. And then that's the last year that he's under contract, right? So.
And I think we've talked about kind of, he hits 30. What time does he hit 30? Is it next year,
Yeah, I
middle
believe
of next
so.
season, something like that? And I know kind of the way they've conserved his rep count over the years, and his carry count, probably gives him maybe an extra year or two beyond your normal starting running back. But at some point that tread's gonna be worn down on the tires, and that's probably after the end of next season. So yeah, finding someone you can work in as a long-term answer, I think, has definitely got to be part of the equation.
So okay, running back, get some offensive line depth or competition, maybe not depth, but just add some competition. Feels like an 8-9. I mean, we have a quarterback, right? Nine?
That's like a quarter, having the quarterback is literally like 75 to 80% of the equation.
Yeah, that's
And
like 4 points. That's
we
like at
got
least. Yeah.
it.
All right. Defensive side of the ball. Here's where I think we can do some work. Brooks played well today, by the way. Brooks,
He had a nice game.
the most unfortunate thing is that the plays that Brooks was winning as a pass rusher were also the plays that Brock Purdy was getting the ball out the fastest. So it just didn't matter. But if you play that game again with the wins that Carl Brooks was having up front, I think there's a lot more pressure generated. I don't think the edge rushers were getting as much as those interior guys. Kenny Clark, hell of a game.
Oh
Hell of a game.
man,
Wooden
yeah,
hasn't
he
done much
was.
this season, but got a block.
I think we talked about it in the halftime spaces, though, a little bit about Rashawn Gary and sort of a little bit of a disappearing act after he signed his big deal. I mean, pressure rate is down. I think I saw someone say he only had a half a sack over the last 8 games of the season, including the playoffs.
Yeah, he's always been a
And
streaky guy with sacks.
yeah, he is, but even just his pressure rate, being down, that's not good enough. I don't know if he got worn down, if it was a case of because of the ACL coming in this season, maybe he wasn't able to condition the way he normally would in the off season, and he got worn down towards the end of the season. Maybe I don't know. I don't like to cast aspersions on guys, when they signed a big deal and play kind of
Yeah,
drops off. That's always a tough one to me.
I don't think
And I
it's
don't
a,
think he's the kind of guy
yeah,
that's
that's what I was
likely
gonna
to
say.
be the case for him, right? Just his personality, his mentality and everything. I don't think that's him.
Everyone's like he's like hardworking psycho, so I wouldn't expect that it's that. I just think it's more of kind of a product of who he is. Like he matches up well against some teams. He doesn't match up well against other situations. We never had like the. Or not that I could remember. I mean, one of my big worries was that Rashawn Gary was just going to get put in a bind as the open guy, on the backside of zone runs and having a boot and all that stuff. I can't remember how many times people got loose because of that. So that's one benefit. You know, thanks Shanahan for that one. But like we're looking at all these levels, right? So outside linebacker, who's going to be the fourth guy in that rotation? I assume Preston's going to be back. Maybe that's not the situation, but I assume that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
With Enagbare probably starting on PUP to open up the season. The inside linebacker situation with Devondre Campbell. Interior line, I still feel like they could probably add some more guys. Like, okay, Wyatt's a good pass rusher, but he can't really play rundowns. Wooden Slayton, why aren't people like, we couldn't draft a guy to push one of those, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe off the roster. Like,
yeah, I mean, I do think Slayton had a pretty solid year in his first year as a starter, at least as a run stepper, right? He's clearly a first and second down guy.
That's what I mean. But, it's like he's a situational guy. If you want to run, if you want to run three, and you make Wyatt and Slayton one guy, they're each a half a guy.
Like, yeah, that makes that's more true.
Sense to me.
Yeah, you've really got the one complete defensive lineman in Kenny, and that's been the case for, you know, basically most of his career.
Are we sure Brooks is the second best defensive lineman on this team?
He might be. He might be.
I know the like PFF and stuff doesn't like it. They don't like Kenny either.
Yeah,
you can't tell me Kenny's not playing out of his mind right now.
He's a beast today.
Kenny's been playing very good football.
He was running stuff down 5 yards down the field on the outside today. Yeah. And now he had a great finish to the season.
Into the backfield. Yep.
Yeah.
So like they can kind of add competition basically everywhere. Cornerback is maybe one where you're only looking at depth. Mm-hmm. Like you still get Jair, you still get Stokes, which I understand is like the mystery box, but like you have Valentine if Stokes doesn't work. If you keep Keyshawn on, he's going to be playing in the slot again. So you're talking about like pushing Robert Rochelle or Corey Valentine with the draft pick. That feels like depth to me more than real competition, you know? So, but everywhere else, I could see them turn the draft pick on defense, which is I know Packers fans love to hear, is that, hey, defensive draft pick in the first round is a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm just looking down the list of free agents on this team, right? So, yeah, you've got Savage, Owens, Ford, all those guys at safety are free agents. You got Keyshawn, and even looking out ahead 1 year, Kenny's in his last year of his deal in 2024. That might be one where, and he's got a huge cap hit too. I won't be surprised if they restructure Kenny's deal, give him an extra, you know, an extra couple of years to defray some of that cap cost, because
Kenny is a guy that costs
a lot of money.
He's the guy I would want to know what his number is, right? You're like, hey, what works for you, right? Like, we want to give you a 3-year extension. You're playing pretty well. I don't think we can give you the money that you got last time. But, like, what's a number that works for you? And then you get an answer there, and it's yes or no.
They got to do something because, again, for better or worse, you know, his cap hit was $13 million this year. It blows up to $27 million next year.
They're going
to
do something.
He's owed more than $16 million in cash. So something will have to happen with that. And I can't see them just dumping into void years. I think they're going to, I think a 2-year extension to take him, you know, put him on a 3-year deal makes sense to me.
By the way, Ian Rappaport broke the news. That was the most obvious thing in the world, that the Packers are going to try to talk to Jordan Love about an extension this spring. He can't sign a contract until May. So it's like the week after the draft, because he signed a 1-year extension this year. That's part of like the CBA and all that. But yeah, I mean, Doy, I could have told you that. And
I'm not talking.
I had no inside info on that one. Defensive vibes.
There's a lot of unknowns, man. I think that's where I'm at.
I'm like a 5, maybe.
Yep. Yep. That's
like how many guys are you, or do you for sure know are going to start on this team next year on defense?
Yeah. I mean,
Kenny?
Kenny, Rashawn, Jair.
Quay is going to start,
Quay.
whether you
Yeah.
like it or not. Quay is going to
Yep.
start. Jair is going to start.
I'll say Jair because I don't believe anything that he's, you know, any of the potential talk that they might deal him or
No.
anything. I think that's gone.
So we're at
So
four.
four.
And the next
Yeah,
guy
those
is
are.
probably like Preston, and then even
Yep.
that's a question mark, right?
Yeah.
All the defensive
Press.
linemen, I wouldn't be surprised if they were starters or on the bench.
Valentine, like even that, you know, with Stokes, who
With
knows what
Stokes,
they're gonna
yep.
do there. Again, the safeties are all free agents. So yeah, you got four
Like four
guys. You get a
guys.
lot of turnover.
It's like four guys and then a bunch of guys that have shown some flash, but you got to see a little bit more out of. I want to see more out of Brooks. That's my pet project. I will be spreading Brooks propaganda the entire offseason and the preseason. Yeah, I feel like five.
Five at
That's
the most. Yeah.
how I feel about the defense moving forward. Would news comes out, it breaks. You wake up in the morning, Packers have fired Joe Barry. How surprised are you? I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd
Extremely.
be, yeah.
I would, based on Matt's comments today, I would be shocked.
That's
I would
fair.
not be disappointed, but I would be shocked.
Yeah. I just calling it
I
like I
just,
see it. I think he's coming back, and I know you guys are going to be pissed about it, but it is what it is. Special teams. Anders, get your shit together. Waylon is pretty good, I think. Orzich had a
Keyshawn.
weird snap.
Yeah, Keyshawn, man, making us, you know,
Heart
the thrilling
attack.
return and then giving us a heart attack and thank the maker for Eric Wilson just sprinting in at a full sprint and falling on that football, man.
I had someone ask me if I wore an Apple Watch. I don't wear an Apple Watch. I don't wear a watch because I have a phone that tells me what time it is. But someone texted me and said, "I'll give you $20 if you send me your heart rate data after that fumble."
Oh man,
So.
I should see if I can. I got a Fitbit. I should see where mine ended up on that whole sequence. Holy crap.
The returners, not worried about the returners.
No.
Though, Jaden Reed, I don't know how much longer you're going to be returning punts, buddy, because you're really important to the offense. And that's usually how this works out. Like, Christian McCaffrey returned kicks when he was a rookie with the Panthers. You know what he doesn't do anymore? Return kicks, because he's too important.
Look,
So.
Randall Cobb had 2 years, I think, returning kicks on a regular basis for the Packers before he became too big a part of the offense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think we're limited on the Jaden Reed punt stuff, which
Yeah.
fine to me. If you want to have Keyshawn do it, that's cool with me. Just don't have him have his heels at the 10-yard line and he doesn't get a move back from there. And he really doesn't get to catch things over his shoulder.
Over his head. Yeah.
Nuts. Psycho. I think you gotta look at kicker and long snapper.
Yep.
Kicker, I don't know how much that's like an off-season thing, or if that's just like if we're in week six next year and the team is like 4-2 and better, that's probably when you need to have that conversation. The Orzich thing, I'm not evaluating long snappers. I'm gonna be totally honest. I don't know what his rate looks like, but he didn't seem to have a great game today. And that seems to be like, okay, we could probably get better here then.
Yeah, the second snap, the second field goal, was the one I think on the right hash that Whelan had to scoop up off the turf, and Anders kind of had to slow his approach down a little bit, and thankfully it was a fairly short kick, so he was able to make it work. But yeah, that one skipped in, and that's not something you can have happening at this point. So I think that's an easy place to circle for improvement. And I mean, if I'm the front office, I'm at the very least, you know, bringing in something real as far as competition goes at kicker in the off season. I don't know. I at least push him a little bit.
Maybe, but like you want him to get the reps, right? If you want him to get better, you have to give him the reps. So like that's what I mean. I'm like, give him the full runway, give him the summer, give him a month and a half. And then if we're still here after a month and a half, pull the cord. That's fine. I'm okay with having a line in the sand and saying enough is enough with a young kicker. I just like you got
You're
to give
not
him a
at that
chance.
line yet. Yeah.
Because if not, then
Yeah.
just go sign a kicker. Like go get whoever, like I don't know who's available, but go
Yeah,
get
to your
him.
point, it's not like you have to work a kicker in any sort of game plan or anything. I mean, they're not even really the ones. How long does it take to get a kicker worked into the actual kicking operation, right? That's more on the snapper and the punter to get that sorted out. So, yeah.
I'm like, how
Yeah,
long
I
does it
hear it.
take? Like 3 weeks? Okay, he's ready by
Right.
mid-season then if we pull the ripcord in week six. So,
Yeah.
and I feel like half the time you get better kickers in season than you do in the
Yes.
off season. Like, think
Yeah, you
about
get
these
the.
teams that were scavenging for punters. Like, Pat O'Donnell just became available at cutdowns, right? Like, he wasn't in the free agency market. So, like, if you're looking for league average, I can find you league average. It's just
Yeah.
probably not going to come until September. I don't know, special teams vibes moving forward. We got plenty of special teamers on this team. Rich is going to have his dudes.
I'm still like five. I guess the one question I've got is these units were pretty bad for much of the season. A lot of
Yeah.
penalties early.
Penalties is the biggest thing.
Yeah, penalties, and then obviously, all the misses on PATs and
Yeah.
field goals and stuff. Is that enough? Because I think there's going to be some calls for Bisaccia to go just based on the rankings and kind of where
Not
everything fits.
happening.
I don't think he will. I
Not
think
happening.
he's, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere,
You just had a
but
70-yard return, the second longest return in Packers postseason
that
history, and they blocked a kick. Bisaccia's not going anywhere. The
was the
punt
second
team,
longest return besides the Super Bowl 31
the
return.
Desmond. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. But Rich isn't going
Wow.
anywhere.
No, I don't think so either, but I won't be surprised when we hear calls for his job, from
I mean,
fans and
people are
things in
going
the
to want
next
heads
couple
to roll.
days.
I want to put
Yeah.
this back into perspective. I'm going to look cash NFL 2023. SpotTrac pops it up. SpotTrac, SpotTrac? I don't know how you say it. Oh, they got rid of it already. They moved it to 2024. Dang it. I believe the Baltimore Ravens are spending $200 million on the offensive side of the ball. The Packers are spending $40 million on the offensive side of the ball in terms of pure
What
cash this year.
this
Yeah.
year? Oh my
Yeah, a
God.
lot of that came because of, Lamar Jackson making money. But they're doing things like, adding Odell Beckham Jr. and stuff like that. Like,
Oh my
we're
goodness.
still not playing with a full deck, guys. And it's gonna be fun when this unit does have a full deck. We just gotta hit on a couple more draft picks. And I'm not saying
Yeah.
that as a homer. I'm a guy who picked against the Packers the last two games that they played, right? Like, I get accused all the time of not actually being a Packers fan, which is dumb. Tex sees not only my tweets, but what I send in Slack. We're freaking out during game day. I certainly have
Yeah.
emotions about this team, but like,
Yeah.
as far as like calling it how I see it, like I try to be halfway rational. Like, this team is gonna be good moving forward. I would not be surprised if this team was the favorites in the NFC North next year, even though we only know who four of the starters are on the defensive side of the ball. We're in a good spot. You should feel good. And I know that sucks to hear after a playoff loss, but like, again, that was the clear one seed in the NFC. You can barely make money if you predict a Ravens 49ers Super Bowl and you try to put money on it, right? Like, everyone thinks that this is just something that is already, set in stone. And this Packers team almost ruined that plan in a game that they didn't play very well.
Right.
Be happy.
Yeah,
Be happy.
that's what I keep coming back to is like they didn't play great and they still should have won this game if, again, any one of five or six different things goes differently.
Wasn't there like a PI early in the game too that was like it kind of blew?
I thought they actually called the PIs right for the most part in this one. They got the couple on Ambry Thomas, the big one to Melton,
I just remember
after the
Packers fans
weird.
were complaining about one where they were like, he got hit early or something. I think it was Dobbs. think this comes back to a strong hands thing.
Maybe.
This is like first quarter. I can't remember.
I don't know. I can barely remember back to the first quarter at this point. I feel like this this game was such a roller coaster of emotion.
Draft season is happening.
Coming.
Tyler and I started it. I've texted people about film. I will be getting film. I've been put on a week-long, what would you call it? Not probation. I've basically been told you have to wait a week. I'm not gonna
sabbatical.
Let you, yeah, I'm not gonna let you be sad and watch college film immediately after your team lost. So I will be getting it in a week.
It's probably for the best.
Not going to the combine this year, unfortunately. I will be in Cabo. My girlfriend got a free trip to Cabo via her work, and I don't want her to leave me. So there I'm gonna go with her on the Cabo trip. So she doesn't drop my ass.
We'll see if I end up making it work this year. It's just there's a lot going on this year, and it may or may not work. So TBD, but we'll certainly keep you posted on that one.
So yeah, expect to hear Tyler and me pretty regularly on this podcast feed talking about the draft, and you know we'll pop in for major tentpole events and stuff like that too, right? Like, buddy, if Barry gets fired, I will work my contacts and try to figure out what the heck is happening in the defensive coordinator market right now. I've been loosely paying attention to it just because I know, like, if Barry laid an egg tonight, right, I think we would be looking for a defensive coordinator and I ramp up everything, right? But I've only been vaguely keeping an eye on, like, what the names are that are being floated around. Free agency, a big extension, something like that. We'll talk about it. Like if Jordan Love signs a big deal, right? We can analyze it from 1,000 different ways, I'm sure, because I don't know what you do. I think the way I would approach it is Jordan Love, we will pay you like a star quarterback, but it's going to be on a year-by-year basis because you are very young. And I think that is the most fair way to do it. And I think Jordan Love with, what is it, like 20 starts under his belt or something like that at this point, probably takes that deal. So I would assume that the Jordan Love deal is going to be structured in a funky way just because of what he's going to be owed because of how hot he played the second half of the season, but also the fact that he's a 24-year-old. So he's still doing funky stuff like throwing it in triple coverage in a playoff game when he had three more shots down the field.
Yeah, makes sense. And I mean, as always, it's going to be a fascinating offseason to see what this team does, but in particular this year. I mean, I feel like they've got so many question marks with contracts and things, especially on defense. Even like I said, you know, the Aaron Jones thing, you know, what they do there to keep him around. But it's at least just really reassuring to know that we don't have to go looking for a quarterback.
25th. Is the pick that the Packers will be picking in. Oh, we did it. We got passed by someone in the draft power rankings. we got passed by. So we have the fifth most draft capital in this upcoming draft. We are behind
because
the Cardinals.
It dropped down because we
won
the
too much. We are now 10.2 points of value behind the New York Giants. So we're behind the Cardinals, Commanders, Bears. All those teams have you know, multiple picks in the first two rounds. The Giants, who also have 2 second-round picks. They get the second-round pick. And then the Green Bay Packers. So we're sitting pretty. We have one, two, three.
Five in the first 100, right?
Yeah, we have five in the first 92. And it looks like we have 11 draft picks right now. I don't know if that's counting. I think that is counting the compensatory draft picks. So,
yep.
Still a lot of more talent coming down the pike, guys.
Yeah, there's a lot to come, and you know, hopefully Goody will play around with those positionings a little bit, and you know, we know he hasn't been afraid of trading back, but I don't know.
I need
this
a safety
like
this
one
year.
Of those where
I need a safety this year. Last year, I was very surprised they spent the first pick on a safety in the 7th round. If you're making me, I'm gonna probably have to watch cornerbacks just because of where the talent in the draft is. If they don't go tackle, they'll probably go corner just because there's so many of them in this draft. Wide receiver is another position that's super heavy at the top of the draft, but like they're not going to pick a wide out. If you're going to make me watch defensive backs for a second year in a row, I need you to pick one. So I'm not doing it again the third year. All right. That's what you guys can expect from us. Hopefully, no, we didn't have any major injury, right? We got Zach Tom. He had a concussion. That's not something that's going to last until 2024.
Yeah, I think anything that happened today was pretty minor. Quay had a little cramping. Jair had a little ankle thing. He came back. So yeah, I think Tom was the only thing. So thankfully nothing, nothing like an Ibarra last week. So at least escape without any, potentially season altering issues for 2024 and beyond.
So this is the sign off, the last scheduled, the repack for this season. Go to acmepackingcompany.com. We're gonna fill it up with content every day of the week. Even if
What
there
we
isn't
do.
news, we'll figure something out. Go there, click some stuff, maybe click some ads. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you to click ads, but go do it and go pack go.
Go back, go.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on
Call
this
mom?
Email?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.